Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture this morning is Ezekiel 31, verses 3 through 7. Consider Assyria, a cedar of Lebanon, with fair branches and forest shade, and of great height, its top among the clouds. The waters nourished it, the deep made it grow tall, flowing with its rivers around the place where it was planted, sending forth its streams to all the trees of the field. So it towered high above all the trees of the field. Its boughs grew large and its branches long, from abundant water in its shoots. All the birds of the air made their nests in its boughs. Under its branches, all the animals of the field gave birth to their young, and in its shade, all great nations lived. It was beautiful in its greatness, in the length of its branches, for its roots went down to abundant water. This is the word of the Lord. When I was at youth conference, a friend of mine, a pastor that I met there, but I would now call him a friend, told me a story. He told me of two older gentlemen that were in his congregation who had long been, you know, the kind of guys that would be there doing the handyman work, fixing things up, were parts of missions, very active, that had slowly ended up needing to use canes to walk around. It can happen to us. It's normal. But he noticed that every Sunday morning, when he saw them sitting in the pews, their canes were never with them. They didn't enter the sanctuary with their canes. What he realized is that they didn't really like to be seen using the canes, so they would kind of stash them away in a closet once they entered the church building and then make their way to the sanctuary and sit down. He approached them and asked them about this, and they were kind of like, you know. And he told them that pride cometh before the fall. That might seem like a weird story to tell when combined with this passage from Ezekiel about this large, grand, strong tree, but if you know Ezekiel, being a nation being talked about in Ezekiel isn't a good sign. Ezekiel kind of has three sections. The first is a judgment and proclamation on Israel. And then the second, which is where we're at today, is judgment and proclamations on the nations around Israel. Immediately following this passage, it goes on for a little bit more, talking poetically about this tree. Ezekiel prophesies that God says, because of its pride, it will be handed over to a prince that will chop it down. It will fall. There's a lot to get into with this idea. One is how we view God's actual interactions with violence in the world and God's place in that. And there's a lot of conversation that can be had. I've recently read a book called Redeeming Violent Verses that seeks to try and understand what's happening when we see violence in the Bible, especially violence that seems to be condoned by God or even enacted by God. But that's another sermon for another time, because it's really hard to get, it's a very deep topic to get into. But here, I think one of the things that we can definitely see is that pride leads to the fall pretty often in the Bible. There are other stories in the Old Testament that point to this directly. If you happen to know Daniel, Daniel chapter 4 has the story of Nebuchadnezzar, who has a dream of a tree that is being cut down because of, again, its pride. Nebuchadnezzar asks Daniel to interpret this dream, and Nebuchadnezzar tells him, well, you're going to kind of become like an animal for a while because of your pride. It's a weird story. Daniel's full of little weird quirks like that. Nebuchadnezzar's remarkably okay with being told bad interpretations of his dreams. He actually gives him a promotion and is very nice about it. But later on, Nebuchadnezzar looks upon his kingdom, claims that he has done this all himself, and then ends up roaming the fields eating grass like an ox. After about a year of this, though, he looks to the stars and remembers God and speaks out to God asking for help. And he's returned to normal. Everything is restored to him. You could also argue that the Tower of Babel could be seen as a story of pride coming before the fall. There's also a lot of complications with that. Language that is used for making the bricks of the Tower of Babel can also be seen used for making the bricks when the Hebrew people were slaves. Maybe using slave labor in such a way could be considered pride. But either way, it's another time that pride comes before a fall. I think for us in the modern day, we should try and examine when pride leads to our own downfall. As Americans, we are very much big fans of independence and self-sufficiency, lifting ourselves up by our own bootstraps and trying to be our own people. We don't like too much to reach out for help. But I don't think that that's what God really wants for us or what we're called to do as God's church. Again, this week at conference, we were going through the chapter Luke 15. That's where the two parables I mentioned to the children earlier come from, the parable of the lost coin and the parable of the lost sheep. There's one more parable in Luke 15, and that is the parable of the prodigal son. I can't imagine something more prideful than telling your dad, I kind of want my inheritance now rather than later. I don't want to wait for you to die and pass away. I think that I could use it now better. And so he starts full of pride. He takes all the money and he goes off into a distant land and he spends it frivolously. He just throws money everywhere. And he probably maybe thought, I'm spending a lot, but as long as things stay okay, I'll be okay. I'm going to make it fine. I'm young. It's whatever. I can do this. And then, of course, the famine strikes and things don't go well for him. He loses some pride in accepting that work for a pig to feed pigs. And then he remembers, okay, I'm not doing well here. I should go home. So we see a little bit of the pride disappear, but a little bit remains. He doesn't say, I'm going to go home and ask for forgiveness, or I'm going to go home and just see what will be done. He says, I'm going to go home and become one of the hired workers. He's holding on to a little bit of dignity, a little bit of his own power. He is going to make up for the mistakes that he has made. But when he returns home, the father removes all ability to hold on to that dignity or pride. The father rushes to him, hugs him, gives him the new robe, new sandals, and a ring, and doesn't allow him to become a servant. No, as a friend pointed out to me there, the father removes all of that self-sufficiency. He is welcomed back into the family as a part of that family, and he's going to be there for the rest of his life. He is reclaimed by the community. How might we follow a similar pattern? A similar pattern where we realize the things where pride is holding us back and keeping us from the things we need. Are there times when our pride keeps us from asking for the help that we want or the help that we could use? We look at the things that we used to do for other people and we don't want them done for us. Like people, like if we've been community care deacons, when it comes time, are we ready to say, I could use some of that care right now too? When we end up, if we ever end up in financial straits, are we ready to say, I'm going to apply and see if I can get help from that benevolence fund that the church has? Or even, I have a sick family member or someone has passed away, times are hard, I should go and ask about being on that, on a meal list for the church so that they can help provide for me here. It's easy for us to miss out on these community connections and these points of things that are benefits of being a part of such a wonderful community. God does not desire us to be separated, self-sufficient individuals. God built us for relationship. Slight tangent, but there's an idea in Trinitarian doctrine called, oh gosh, I hope I get the word right, perichoresis. It is the idea that all three persons of the Trinity are in this constant dance with each other. It's the idea that somewhat God and God's self is a relationship, three in one. God is not God separate, but together. And so I think I slightly said that wrong, but the relationship is so important that God made us to be in relation with God and therefore also to be in relation with one another. I think we also have to think about how pride holds us back as we look at our different organizations, our groups, and our churches. Where is our sense of church identity, of the wonderful church history that we have, potentially keeping us from making moves that would be helpful for us? Are there ideas that we hold on to because that's the way we've done things for so long that now no longer really apply to us in this current day and age? Are there moments where maybe we could team up with another church, but we don't really get along with those people, so we don't? I don't know. But I think it's important for us to keep that in mind. God doesn't desire our pride. God doesn't desire our ego. God simply desires us as we are, on the level. At the end of it all, I think my main takeaway from all of this is that God finds us far too valuable to let us do it all on our own. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.